This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, November 29th. I'm Angela Denning. Elk hunting in Southeast comes to a close tomorrow, and at five animals harvested, 2016 might be slightly under the five-year average. There is a window in which hunters have to report their hunts, so the numbers won't be final for about another week. Hunting has been available on Edelin Island near Wrangell and neighboring Zarembo Island since 1997. Hunting has been closed on Zarembo since 2008 due to low numbers. Alaska Fish and Game wildlife biologist Rich Lowell says Zarembo's herd is down to about 20 animals. Edelin's herd is estimated to be between 200 and 300 elk, which he says is stable. But the herd isn't growing like previously thought, and confidence is dropping in those numbers.
We expect that we have some issues with predation there, probably from wolves, black bears, and a little bit from brown bears. What I typically see is I'll fly those herds earlier in the year after calving and typically see a lot of calves. But then when I look at those prior to the start of the hunting seasons, it's pretty obvious that the number of calves has been reduced.
Lowell attributes the difficulty of getting an accurate count to smarter elk and fewer being found in the open, but mostly because of the heavily forested area. He says Fish and Game will continue to manage the Southeast herd as they have for the time being. Elk season begins in September with an archery hunt followed by two rifle hunts in October. All three are lottery hunts. Just 25 permits are awarded for archery hunters and 50 for each rifle hunt. A registration hunt begins in late November. Lowell says low numbers of harvested elk have been able to support the late November season every year, but participation of those who receive permits in all four hunts is dropping.
Since we've had these hunts, there's been a steady decline in hunter precipitation. And at this point in time, I would venture to say that about half of those that receive a permit actually take to the field.
Lowell believes the remoteness of the area and travel costs are what's keeping hunters away. He encourages participants to turn in hunting reports as soon as possible. Roosevelt elk were originally transplanted to a Fog Neck Island near Kodiak in 1929 from Washington State. Elk were later introduced on Edelin Island near Wrangell in 1986. Audiences in Petersburg's Wright Auditorium might not notice the changes right away, but there's some new equipment that's been installed, making it easier and safer to show movies and put on performances. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Compass Theater board member Dave Berg rolls and unrolls the nonprofit's new mechanical movie screen.
So it's a nice function to have it be safe and not have to be, pulling on some ropes to get it up and down. It was pretty heavy.
The new screen measures about 30 feet wide by 12 feet tall. It replaces one from 1998 when the student-run Northern Nights Theater began showing its movies using a startup $35,000 state grant. The old screen had to be lifted and dropped by hand, and it will get a new life not far away in the community gym. Berg explains that the new movie surface came about because the switch to digital movies several years ago has been such a success.
Essentially, going to digital not only increased the quality of the movies we were showing, but it decreased dramatically the amount of freight that we were having to spend to get the movies in and out of Petersburg, because they're big, heavy boxes. There was a lot of celluloid involved. And now we get our movies on a hard disk shipped in a box, priority mail, a medium flat rate box, pretty much. So that has allowed us to make some improvements in together with the school.
The screen cost about $9,000, paid for with a $3,000 grant from the Petersburg Community Foundation, along with similar contributions from both the school district and Compass Theater. It was installed by school staff earlier this fall.
And then these lock into place and have a safety that is attached also to make sure that...
Berg demonstrates another big upgrade. It won't be something that audiences see, but it's an important safety change for people putting on performances. 30-year-old hemp rope has been replaced for the rigging that controls the backdrops, sets, lighting, the movie screen, and curtain. 17 different lines connect the heavy stage equipment with counterweights and are held in place by brake levers.
And certainly they were old. Hemp rope was installed in about 1985 when the Wright Auditorium was first put in. There were times up here when I walked away after a show with splinters in my hands from the hemp rope being very difficult to handle unless you had gloves on. Plus, it was starting to fray in a couple of places, not dangerously, but it was pointed out that it was time to take a look at it. And
the acting company Mitkoff Mummers and dance school Mitkoff Dance Troupe paid to fly in a rigging technician from Seattle to inspect the system and show how to re-rig those lines. Volunteers from the two groups helped install almost 1,800 feet of new cotton poly rope. Karen Christensen is board president for the Mitkoff Dance Troupe.
Sometimes, the curtain is open the whole time, so it's not needed. But for any dance performance and most of the Mummers performances, they're using those lines. And when the technician was here, we asked him what the normal lifespan of some of those lines are. And he said about 20 years. So when we said ours were close to 30 and he looked up, he grimaced. And we knew it was time, and he said, for safety factors, it was definitely time to replace.
The two groups expect to spend about $2,500 for the cost of bringing in the rigging technician, and the school district purchased about $2,000 worth of replacement rope.
Yeah, we're really happy that this got done before the Mummers performance last weekend. And before the Nutcracker that's coming up in December.
The upgrades aren't done either. The upholstery on seats in the auditorium is getting replaced this year, and in the process we'll be changing colors from purple to blue. So far, one seat is done. School staff and volunteers will be changing out a few at a time, working their way through the roughly 320 seats as they can. Compass Theater contributed about $10,000 for that work. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Wrangell police say charges are pending for recent boat break-ins in Heritage Harbor. Two suspects are awaiting charges, but police have not identified them. Five boats were reported broken into on November 20th. Only three are thought to have had items stolen. A hunting rifle and dive gear are among the items recovered. VHF radios, binoculars, and several items were also taken. Police did not elaborate if everything was recovered. A Harley-Davidson motorcycle reported stolen the same day still has not been found. Police are unsure if the incident is related. A car for sale on Front Street in Wrangell was also reported vandalized on November 23rd. Most of its windows were smashed out, but nothing was reported missing from the vehicle. Wrangell police say they are following leads. A Juno hunter is safe after being rescued by an Air Station Sitka helicopter on Friday. 35-year-old Kyle Pettiford was scheduled to rendezvous with the other members of his hunting party at 1:30 in the afternoon on Friday in Oliver Inlet on Admiralty Island. According to state troopers, when Pettiford failed to appear, his partners searched the shoreline for him until 4 p.m. and then notified the Coast Guard via radio that he was overdue. They left supplies for him at the rendezvous point and returned to Douglas. Air Station Sitka launched a helicopter to search for Pettiford that evening. However, at about 7:20 p.m., Pettiford reached an area with cell phone service and called 911. He informed dispatch that he was uninjured and had gotten lost returning from hunting. His location was relayed to the helicopter crew en route, who located him in Green Cove. Pettiford was safely brought aboard and transported to the Juneau Airport. Petersburg's advocacy organization for domestic violence victims has moved into a new office and hired a new staff member, thanks to a 3-year federal grant landed earlier this year. Working Against Violence for Everyone, or WAVE, provides support for survivors of domestic violence, connecting clients to legal help, counseling services, and other resources. In the middle of this month, WAVE moved from Singley Alley to a new office at 102 South 2nd Street in the Thompson Building, which is just down the street from the public library. WAVE also hired a second staffer. Joe Vicnicki stopped by the new office and spoke with the organization's director, Annette Wooten, and new advocate, Ricky McKay, about the recent changes.
You've got some more space here, a few offices, a little more privacy and that kind of thing?
Yes, we definitely have much more space. I think it's double for sure, if not more than that. We also have a closed-off office, so we can see more than one client at a time, which is going to be huge. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
You've been staffing this office by yourself for a couple of years now. What does it feel like to have someone to boss around, tell you to get coffee? What does it feel like to have someone else on board?
It's really great. Every time I have to run an errand, I know that the office is open. That's huge to our office, just knowing that I don't have to have that "we will return" sign on our door. And we're now open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, so we're able to expand our hours and just knowing we're going to be open. So.
And Ricky, you didn't have to move very far for this job, just barely up the hill, right?
Yeah, a block over and up. It was good. It worked out well.
What got you interested in applying for this spot?
I think learning about what WAVE did. You know, I've been a resident here for the majority of my life, but I actually didn't know what kind of services were provided by the organization. So the more I learned about that over the past year, the more interested I became in supporting the work that they do here.
And you've been learning the ropes in the past few weeks, I take it?
I have, yeah. Annette's great. She's easy to work with, and she doesn't drink coffee, so that makes my job really easy.
That's not one of your duties. But you'll be seeing clients right off the bat, right? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm working through training right now, and part of what we're doing is being able to be open, like she said, to see more clients and provide services to them.
What else should we tell people about this change?
You know, we're going to be available online as always through the crisis line or just calling the 772 WAVE number during our normal business hours. Hopefully long term we'll be able to provide more support groups and things for people so that we can just connect people to resources. But I think we're going to wait a little bit and see how things go with our new move. And we definitely have space now to have a group here at our office, which is huge. So I'm really excited about that.
A little conference table right near us here. And,
yeah.
Right, and video screen. And this is all, I know, made possible by the federal grant that you landed back in September, I think. And
The October 1 is when we received the grant. Most of the stuff we've actually had, believe it or not, all of this fit into the old office, but we now have space in between everything instead of trying to walk around it all. And we have our advocate training meetings here too, so it'll be nice to be able to stretch out a little bit and not be so cramped and climbing over each other.
And this takes pressure off the board a little bit as well?
Yeah, so we have a 3-year grant, so that gives us a little bit of a sigh of relief, and then, you know, we're going to continue, and hopefully we can apply for funding after this 3 years, and then we'll continue to seek out funding resources. This grant really covers the operational costs of a lot of things, which most grants don't cover, so we still need to do fundraising and things like that, but it'll be good.
Okay. And will you still go back to the borough next spring for money from them? Or that's still up in the air?
Hopefully we don't have to ask the borough for money. We kind of got ourselves in a corner where we had this 1 year of not being sure where we're going to have funding, and with having a staff, it makes it really hard to make those decisions as to, you know, what are we going to do for this year? Do we just try to fundraise and support our one staff employee, or do we go back to just having a crisis line? And so, it was scary times, but hopefully it turned out great for us. So.
Yeah, it was just a year ago I was talking to you and you didn't really know what the future held, so yeah. Big change.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of what happens with funding. You know, it's something that we have to be aware of, and I don't think we're ever going to be fully out of the woods, but we have this 3-year grant, so it's a good starting point.
And that was WAVE Director Annette Wooten. While WAVE's office has moved, the online site and phone numbers have not changed. The website is petersburgwave.org. The crisis line is 518-0555, and the regular office phone number is 772-9283. The University of Alaska Southeast has created an endowment in the name of former Alaska Attorney General Grace Scheibel. to support visiting faculty, researchers, artists, and Native elders. The endowment was created following the sale of a home in Juneau that Scheibel donated to the university in 1989. The university says visiting scholars and researchers for years stayed at the property along the Mendenhall River. The university says one of the stipulations tied to the donation of the house was that the proceeds from any sale of the property would be put into an endowment fund with its earnings used in support of the university. University Chancellor Rick Caulfield says Scheibel's generosity and legacy will not be forgotten. Scheibel, who lives in Fairbanks, was Attorney General from 1987 to 1989. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening. Coming up, I'll have the weather forecast, as well as community announcements and the community calendar. Then Ross Nanick will take over. Ross Nanick III will take over for hosting Street Beat. At 2:35, it's KFSK's Sideline Sports Report. 2:40, High Country with Laura Lee Mason. At 4 o'clock, All Things Considered with NPR. More local news at 4:30. At 6 this evening, news from around the state with Alaska News Nightly. At 6:30, Ebb Tide with Terry Dano. At 9 o'clock tonight, Thistle and Shamrock. 10 o'clock, Radio Free Petersburg with Mark Martinson, and at midnight, it's the BBC World Service broadcast live from London.
Support for KFSK comes from Skate of Gear, wishing everyone a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Joining the Opt Outside movement for the second year, and the shop will be closed this Friday, Black Friday. Skate of Gear will open for Small Business Saturday on the 26th. Skate of Gear in downtown Petersburg.
It is 44 degrees outside of the KFSK studios, a little warmer than we've seen in several days. There's high wind in the forecast for today. Here's the forecast for Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. High wind warning that will last until 6 p.m. Today, rain, highs in the mid-40s, southeast winds to 25 miles, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. Tonight, widespread rain showers, lows in the mid-30s, southeast winds to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 40, southeast winds to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night, rain, lows in the mid-30s, southwest winds to 25 miles per hour. More rain and wind on Thursday, highs around 40, southwest winds to 25 miles per hour. Thursday night, lows in the mid-30s. Friday, rain, highs around 40. Friday night, widespread rain showers and numerous snow showers, lows around 30. On Saturday, they say snow is likely with highs in the mid-30s. Saturday night and Sunday, snow likely, lows 20 to 25, highs 30 to 35. And then more chances of snow Sunday and Monday. Sunday night and Monday. The Marine Weather Forecast Summary shows a storm force low pressure system that's been moving into the region from the southwest and will move inland near Yakutat tonight. Looking at Frederick Sound, there's a gale warning today through late tonight. Today, southeast wind 30 knots increasing to 45 knots. Gust to 65 knots, seas at 6 feet building up to 10. Tonight, south wind 35 knots diminishing to 30 knots with seas at 7 feet. Wednesday, south wind 20 knots with seas at 4 feet. Wednesday night, southeast gale to 35 knots, with seas at 7 feet. For Sumner Strait, there's a gale warning through this evening. Today, east wind 35 knots, becoming southeast 45 knots. Gust to 65 knots, seas at 7 feet, building up to 10, except 12 feet near ocean entrances. Tonight, southeast wind 35 knots, becoming southwest 25 knots. Seas at 6 feet, except 11 near ocean entrances. Wednesday, southwest wind 20 knots, becoming east in the afternoon. Seas at 4 feet, except 8 feet near ocean entrances. Wednesday night, east wind 30 knots, seas at 6 feet. For Stevens Passage, there's a gale warning today through late tonight. Today, southeast wind 25 knots, increasing to 40 knots, gusting to 60 knots, seas at 5 feet, building up to 9. Tonight, south wind 35 knots, seas at 7 feet. Wednesday, south wind 30 knots, becoming north 20 knots in the afternoon, with seas at 5 feet. Wednesday night, north wind 30 knots with seas at 6 feet. For southern Chatham Strait, there's a gale warning through this evening. Today, southeast wind 35 knots becoming south 45 knots. Late this afternoon, gusting to 65 knots. Seas at 7 feet building up to 10. Near ocean entrances, seas at 12 feet building up to 18. Then tonight, southwest wind 35 knots diminishing to 25 knots. Seas at 7 feet except 18 feet near ocean entrances. For tomorrow, southwest wind 20 knots becoming southeast in the afternoon. Seas at 4 feet except 14 near ocean entrances. Wednesday night, north wind 30 knots. Seas at 6 feet except 12 near ocean entrances. For Clarence Strait, there's a storm warning today. Southeast wind 35 knots increasing to 50 knots. Gusts to 55 knots increasing to 75 knots. Seas at 9 feet building up to 15 this afternoon. Then tonight, southeast wind 45 knots becoming southwest 20 knots. Gusting to 65 knots in the evening. Seas at 14 feet subsiding to 5 feet late. Near ocean entrances, seas at 16 feet subsiding to 10. For tomorrow, southwest wind 15 knots becoming southeast in the afternoon. Seas at 4 feet except 7 near ocean entrances. For Wednesday night, southeast gale to 35 knots with seas at 7 feet. And finally, outside waters from Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe, there's a storm warning through this afternoon. Today, south wind 50 knots, diminishing to 40 knots this afternoon. Gusting to 70 knots, seas at 19 feet, building to 24 feet this afternoon. Then tonight, west wind 40 knots, diminishing to 30 knots, gusting to 55 knots with seas at 25 feet. Tomorrow, southwest wind 30 knots, becoming south 20 knots, seas at 20 feet, subsiding to 15. Wednesday night, south wind 30 knots with seas at 16 feet. That's it for the weather. I'll have the community announcements next.
Support comes from Sing Lee Alley Books and Gifts. With new images of sea life art blocks by Doris Olson and Haitian recycled metal art now with color. Also, new book release Gingerbread Christmas by Jan Brett. Sing Lee Alley Books. Now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Fridays till 7, and Sundays, 12 till 4. And hosting Ladies' Night Out this Friday till 7 with refreshments.
Happy birthday today to Gloria Ann Wallen, Janice Kernvick, Elizabeth Hart, Lance Kittems, Clifton Gudgel, Shelley Yort, Larry Young, David Tao, and Sydney Stewart, as well as Neil Kasky. The Petersburg Science Series presents a talk by Toby and Kelly Bakos titled Pythons, Primates, and Pangolins, Managing a Wildlife Rescue Center in Cambodia. This presentation will be this evening at 6:30 at the Public Library. For more information, contact Sunny at 772-3381. Parks and Rec offers senior strength training Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 11 a.m. For more information, call 772-3392. Circuit training is available 11 a.m. to noon, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Lunchtime yoga, 12:15 to 1 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then spin bike is from 1 to 2. Other options for adult exercising. This evening at 6, there's advanced bench step at Parks and Rec. Then we have several options tomorrow morning. Strength training at 5 a.m. at Parks and Rec. Mat Pilates at MDT Studios, 5:45 to 6:30 a.m. Tai Chi at Mountain View Manor at 7 a.m. and Yoga Lattes at MDT Studios at 8:30 a.m. The Petersburg Hockey Club holds recreational inline hockey scrimmages Tuesdays 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the community gym. All are welcome. Bring a bike helmet and a pair of rollerblades. Sticks are provided. The Mitkoff Island Alcoholics Anonymous schedule for tonight. There's a 12x12 meeting at 7 in the Lutheran Church Sunday School classroom. For more information, call 518-0061. For those interested in getting together to make new music the old-fashioned way, there's an acoustic jam session Tuesday evenings after 7:30 at 106 Joa, which is at the corner of 2nd and Joa. For more information, contact Joseph Quitzland at 650-7228. Tomorrow on Wednesday, from 5 to 7 p.m., youth in grades 5 to 8 are invited to the community gym for some fun activities to help kids better understand bullying. Afterward, there will be a dive-in movie in the pool. More information is available from Natasha Lyons at 772-4963. The winners of the 11th Annual Brew and Stew Festival are, in the beer category, Joe Stratman, wine, cordial, as well as mead. Bev Zirks won all of those. Con Carne, Andy Carlisle, Andy Carlisle. Spicy, Rachel Newport. Fish and Game category, Gina Ressler. And Best in Show went to Joe Stratman and Rachel Newport. The Petersburg Ragnarok Rollers would like to thank everyone for